pains. Also, Sister Collette is asking for prayer for a little boy, Ossie Edwards, who is in her care and is suffering a persistent cold. So let's just bow our heads and ask God to intervene, that His grace will just cover these here who are sick and needy. Believers here tonight, standing on their behalf, knowing that God is more than able. Whatsoever we ask, the two shall agree as upon touch and anything, it shall be done. We thank you, Father, just for this blessed opportunity to stand in your presence, to know we have access by faith to stand in this grace, to know it because you've given unto us an invitation and made a way for us to come, that we could come and obtain mercy tonight. You said, ask that your joys may be full. The reason we don't receive, you said, Lord, is because we don't ask many times. And the reason we don't ask is because we don't believe. But whatsoever we ask the Father in your name, you will grant it unto us. We believe that tonight, Lord, because we know that you do not give false promises. Your promises are yea and amen. Lord, to know that you laid down your life for us, you shed your blood for us, you was wounded for our transgressions, you was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon you. By your stripes we were healed. You made it so secure, Lord, then you rose triumphantly for our justification. And our Holy Spirit was sent back to minister these things unto us. We stand here tonight as believers, Lord, as witnesses. We who was dead in sin and trespasses, Lord, was quickened and raised up into heavenly places. Now we stand here as heirs of these promises, Lord. And fathers, we agree tonight. You said, if two shall agree as upon touching anything, it shall be done. I lay my hands upon these requests, Father. And together, Lord, with your believing children, Father, we pray and ask that great mercy be extended to these, Lord. These two needy ones. And to know that believers here tonight, standing on their behalf, standing in their stead, Lord, bringing this request and believing, oh God, that you will hear the prayer of faith. And Father, you will touch them and make them whole. May you grant that tonight, Father. We believe it, we receive it, and we give you praise and thanks for it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, dear God, that if there be any here who will be standing, Lord, with a need in their hearts or praying for a loved one, even as these have brought in these requests, Almighty God, even now, out of the abundance of your grace and your love, Father, you would show forth mercy unto them, that they too would find their requests met, Lord. You said, cast our cares upon you because you care for us. That encourages our hearts, Lord, to know that you care for us. May every burden be lifted tonight. May the Holy Spirit give comfort, give blessed assurance, that we can know you're here amongst us and you're God who hears and answers prayer. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we appreciate you tonight. We ask these things in our wonderful and precious name. Amen. Friend, we have in Jesus all our sins and griefs to be able to sing that as we worship Him. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, just worship Him tonight as you sing it. All our sins and griefs. Amen. What a privilege tonight. what needless pain. What needless pain we bear. All because we do not have everything to God in prayer. Have we tried? Have we tried? Is your trouble everywhere? Yeah, trouble anywhere. Amen. We should never be discouraged. We should never be discouraged. Can we find a friend? Can we find a friend to feed? Oh, who will all our sorrows share? Amen. Jesus knows our every weakness. Jesus knows our way. To the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Are we weak and heavy. Amen. Come but with a load of care. A load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Amen. Take it to the Lord. Would our friends find forsaken? Our friends is find forsaken. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You take and shield it. Now we'll find a song. Have we trials and temptations? Amen. Is there trouble anywhere? Yeah, trouble anywhere. Oh, but we should never be discouraged. We should never be discouraged. And can we find a friend so faithful tonight? Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share?
Jesus knows our every weakness. Jesus knows our every weakness. Amen. Could we just lift our hands and praise Him? You know, you took it to Him in prayer tonight. You just committed unto Him. Hallelujah. Blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. God, how we thank you, Father. We can come and commit our ways unto you. We can come, Lord, and lay down our burden tonight. We can leave it, oh God, down by the Savior's side. We don't have to carry them no more, Lord. Hallelujah. We can cast our cares upon you, knowing that you care it for us, Lord. Hallelujah. It's safe in your keeping, Lord. You are more than able to attend unto it. You promised to do it, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Jesus. I pray, oh God, your Holy Spirit, Lord, would lift the burdens, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, there would be such a liberty, oh God, such a freedom tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You promised to meet with us, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I will meet with you in that place where I place my name. I will meet with you under the shed blood of the Lamb. Oh, I will speak to you from above the mercy seat. I will appear in the cloud. Hallelujah. Beneath the wings of the cherubim. Oh, God, and we have come tonight, Lord, entering into the holiest, Lord, by that new and living way. Come into your blood tonight. Come in no other way, Lord, but the way that thou hast provided for us to come. Blessed be your wonderful name. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory and praise be unto your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So thankful that we could come, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus be the Lord of all, the kingdoms of my heart. Jesus, I surrender all. Let us worship a little bit. Amen. Glory. Jesus be the Lord of all. I surrender. Blessed be your name, Lord. Amen. Let's do our Bibles tonight. I'd like to read in the book of Deuteronomy. Psalms 116. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Also Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Read back up a little bit and read from verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I commanded this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold are multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might test thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. May the Lord bless you with his word. You may have a seat. Amen. We're certainly glad to see all of you out and just trying to, before the time slip away. As you know, we are trying our endeavor best to get there. Assembly in order and established as we have moved over to this place, and we are just looking forward for another move of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that if we would meet God's conditions, that He promised to bless us, He will not withhold that blessing. God have never ever failed to honor His word when His people are found obedient to His word. You believe that? Amen. And, you know, I want to speak a little bit on stewardship tonight, because it's something of great importance to us. A steward is required to be a very responsible person. And we are all stewards over the things of God. And I trust that by God's grace, you know, I know some of you might have your minds on what you read in the paper, and we don't have time for that nonsense. I mean, no weapon formed against us could prosper. And, you know, you have all these kind of voices that is just there to speak negative and try to block and break the influence of God's word. And I'm not here to make no debate over that tonight. I mean, God reward everyone for their works. Amen. And, you know, just let that go, and we'll take care of it by the grace of God. And, you know, Bible says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I'll repay. Amen. And it just goes to show that Satan is just mad, and I'm so glad. Amen. When you say the devil could resort to just low scandalous things like that, it just shows what is happening. You know, you just hurt. And but I want to emphasize that, you see, when you have people in the assembly, it just shows how people in the assembly need to know that when you identify with a people, when you consider yourself a member of the assembly, how you ought to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you could really be the greatest stumbling block. Bible says, need be that offenses come, but woe unto the man by which the offenses come. It's better that man wasn't even born, better a millstone be hung around his neck and be thrown to the sea. But you see, no weapon formed against his bride could prosper. You just look and see, all things work together for good to them that love him and to them who are decalled even according to his purpose. Jesus didn't have to defend nothing. They call him a devil. They call him Belzebub. He didn't defend that. Amen. His works testify who he was. So, you know, I just want to say that. And I just know that God is going to take care of these things. So we're going to speak about stewardship tonight, because in the assembly here, it is so important for us to realize that we have a responsibility as Christians, as believers. And the Bible says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? You know, many a times we are faced with situations and we want to do our best. We want to really please God. We want to be a real Christian. And to really please God is to know his ways, to know what he requires of us, and then to be diligent to go forth and do him the service that he requires of us. And, you know, take for instance this little situation that came up. If all that we speak about the challenge of parenthood, and what Christian parents, and God say, I know Abraham. He will take this word. He will teach his household. You see, if people would take that word when it's spoken and mix it with faith, it wouldn't bring forth that kind of fruit. You see, and that's why, you see, many times people come in, take the name of the church, and then go back out and live their own life, and become a stumbling block. And knowing that the Bible says the token must be displayed to the household first. I mean, you know, just the mere fact that we even claim Christian, we should know that God is the extreme parent. Jesus said, you are a father and you are evil, and you know how to give your children good gifts. See? So it just shows that when you have something like that,
that if we had known what our ministry would be, if we had known what our place would be, if we had known what our responsibility would be, we would try to carry out that responsibility as a real Christian before God, knowing that that is our calling. We are responsible. We'd have to give an account about the children and heritage. Children are like the arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So, if God would give that heritage and that blessing to someone, then it means to say them, because so many people, if they want children, they can't have them. So many people would like to adopt children and do all kinds of different things. So it just shows them that how unconscious people are sometimes of situations like that. Now, here in this scripture, also, we read in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, where God says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day." And, you know, when we came to the building program, that there were so many things that I said that God used to uncover to us the weaknesses in the assembly, which is not the building here, but in the lives of the congregation, the people, all of us that make up this body of believers. And where we see those weak places is where we are trying by these services and the word to attend to, that would cause us to search our lives, and that would mean that these things would be for correction and instruction. So it's not in a way of looking to try to throw something at somebody in their field, but if God already exposed us to conditions, whether we knew that we were being exposed or not, but what we have come through, we were uncovered. And we see our shape. And God, who did those things, now intent is to strengthen us, that we can become a better people. And that's the very reason we come to church for, to find out how to be better Christians. And, you know, especially knowing that we are in the time of preparation, the message came for preparation, is the coming of the Lord, and we are trying to be perfected in any place that we might be lacking. And that is why when the word would come to correct us, we want to be humble and sincere and receive the word. And I'm speaking about stewardship tonight in many things. Stewardship over the talents that God has given us. Stewardship over God's time. Stewardship over the children God has given us. Stewardship over the money God has given us. Stewardship over the mysteries of God. But the Bible says that we are stewards of the things of God. And I want to go through the scriptures as quickly as we could tonight in some of these things that require stewardship. Because God gives you a home and you are a steward of that home. The Bible says, don't ever think is your by your power you get wealth. I just read that in the Bible. He says, you're going to go and start to get blessed. You're going to start to increase. You're going to get more increase in salary. You're going to get a higher position in your job. You're going to further your education. You're going to get more influential friends. I know what's going to happen after a while. You're going to say, by my hand I get these things. God said, no. He said, I bring you out of bondage. He said, I bring you out of Egypt. He said, I bless you. He says, and I give you power to get wealth. Isn't that strange? He said, what shall I render unto God for all the benefits that God has given me? Sometimes we say, this is mine, and this is mine, and this is mine, and this is mine. Is it? Or does God let us use that or have that? Because the same God turned around and says, if you have this world goods and shut up your bowels of compassion against a brother or a sister in need, he said, how could you even claim to have the love of God? He said, my brethren, let us not love in
in word and in tongue, but let alone in deed and in truth. And if you see somebody and you have real religion, you wouldn't say, the Lord bless you, the Lord be with you. Go on, Godspeed be with you. He says, and you have a fire that you could warm them. You have a coat that you could give them to put upon the back. Remember the story Brother Bram told about, which is a true story, about St. Martin when Jesus appeared to him and how Martin had seen that beggar out in the cold here. He was living James too. He had true religion. He saw the beggar outside. He didn't say, well, he don't belong to my church. Or, you know, maybe he... And that beggar was one of the Lord's put there, just like Jesus tell the parable about the man. When the Levite passed by and he saw the man who fell among thieves, he crossed the road and went on the next side. Some people don't want to become involved. Some people always think somebody else will take care of that. That is somebody else's responsibility. I don't have time for that. I'm occupied with other things. And when you get like that, what we do, we are actually living out something that Jesus shows in the scripture right there. And, you know, now you would see why there's such a great need. You see, like something like this came up? It just shows. It just shows, one, that you have to know who is among you. Really know them. It just shows that the people are living a real Christian life. What kind of testimony they have home? In the neighborhood, in the community. What kind of light is a person shining? And then when you accept somebody to say they're a member in the assembly, just like accepting somebody, they come in here and sit on a couple of services and say, well, I'm a Christian, I belong there. And then people quick to say they belong to the church because it gives them an image. It enhances their image sometimes. And really, down in their heart, they're not even living or practicing what is being taught. And then in the end, it's not the person who the shame goes back upon. It's the whole assembly the shame goes upon. It's upon the name of the Lord Jesus it goes upon. And especially in this church. I mean, for years now, you're speaking about trying to see the young people, trying to help the families, trying to help different things in the church, trying to strengthen them places in the church. And to see that your burden as a minister. And then you turn around and something like that comes out to show. Because of one person sitting there not even seeing what the burden of the ministry is sometimes. What the burden of the church. What the purpose. But these things only happen in this hour for us to see. For us to see. That we can't sit inside of here and name the name of Christ. But let any man in the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What kind of steward would that be? We are not here neither just to look at one person. How many people might have fallen in that category? But it's just that their thing maybe don't reach to a scandal or don't leak out outside the walls of their home or go somewhere else. But what about the same attitude? What about the same anger? What about the same lack of self-control? You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't even have it, how could you even give it to your children? How could you even give it to your household if you don't have it? And when that kind of behavior comes, just show you don't have it. Because that is not his life. You see? And I think what happens many times is that what we emphasize and what we look at and what we how we view our situation. And that's why, you know, I didn't prepare this because of that, because this is totally something different. I've been dealing with the trustees with this, and this is more a matter that we in the church try now to part of the order to set in the church and speaking about stewardship. But seeing that stewardship, when you talk about a steward is a person who is a manager of another's goods. The children that we have is what God has given unto us. The home that we have is what God has given unto us. The salvation we have is what God has given unto us. The health that we have is what God has given unto us. The money that we have is what God has given unto us. Whatever we have is because God has given it unto us. Because no man receiveth nothing except someone give it. And since you receive it, it had to be given. And he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. The IQ you're born with is God give it to you. No matter what you have, is God given, has given it to us. And once we realize God has given something unto us, the talents that we have is God has given it unto us. And when God has given something unto us, then we receive that. Then what are we going to use it for? Like Fanny Crosby, she didn't use her own for the world. She didn't use her own to bring a disgrace to the Lord Jesus Christ. She used her own for the advancement of the kingdom, for a blessing in the economy of God. Because she recognized it was God-given. And since it was God-given, what did she do with it? It led her to consecrate it back to the service of God. If you recognize God has given you something, if you recognize that came from God, that you receive it, you inherited it, you're born with it. God pre-planned your birth, brought you into this world with these things. And what God has given it to you, when God began to recognize, caused you to recognize that he has a purpose for you, that he designed your life, he prepared you, he planned your coming here in this world, then those things lead you to consecrate what God have given you back to the service of God. If man had recognized the very earth was given unto us to be a home, you think they'll be destroying it? In hundreds of years to come, life should tarry. They say, no, people will be able to live on this planet. Because this generation, with the chemical revolution and the industrial revolution, have so destroyed this earth, they never even thought of the other generation that was coming. Because of greed, because of loss in the hearts of the people of this wicked and untoward generation. We have nations warring against each other, trying to outdo each other, competing with each other on these things. They have destroyed it for selfishness and greed. Look at this whole war that just took place here that destroyed so much of the environment. Has just been for greed, for wealth, for power to control nations, to control the world. To influence this age is what has been fought for. And human beings and the resources has just been spoils of war for the people who ventured out into the war because of the objective that they have had, to be superior to the others. It's an ego trip. It's sinful. It's wicked. But that's what the Bible says. The heart of man is continually wicked. See? And as we look at you, sometimes you examine the soul of a nation. You examine the soul of a church. If we examine the soul of the church tonight, it don't mean individuals now. It means as a people. Do they love one another? Do they visit one another? Do they care for one another? In a situation like this, how are we going to react to it? How are we supposed to respond to it? How are we supposed to relate to it? Where there is a guilty one, how should we deal with it? What should we do for the improvement and development of the body? Where others might be contaminated, how should we go and look at it and deal with it? Or should we just be narrow-minded and try to think we're better than somebody else? You see, it depends on how you look at things. You take this tonight as we look at stewardship a little bit because, and I'll try not to be too long. I know this could be very lengthy and I'm not going to be too long. I'm going to leave it. This could take a few weeks while we go on these nights, sharing some of these things. But if I just have to maybe take stewardship in one aspect tonight, but I'm thinking about stewardship in talents and time and money, the word of God, children, whatever God has given unto us, to be a faithful steward over it. Let's just turn with me. So 1 Corinthians 4. And I'm bringing these things here in the areas of where it must help us in our living. And that we as Christians, because I realize, you know, there's such a great lacking where people have experience in what they should do, how they should conduct their affairs, what kind of testimony they should have, what type of influence they should have, how they should walk. And it's such a lack of these things. Yet people, they try to express so much knowledge of the word, and then you realize on the other side, their life is so far. And it seems to be such an imbalance. Because when you begin to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit begin to come into your life and begin to touch with these things, you get touch with his tenderness. You get to realize you must have a certain type of influence. And it's not just, this message is not just knowledge and information and, you know, trying to know a lot of different things. It's what kind of life are we living? What has it done to us? How does it have affected us? Have we seen our place and how we should walk and be responsible for God? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2. Look at this. Let a man so account of us as one of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In this aspect, in verse 1, he's talking about stewards of the mysteries of Christ. But he said, moreover, in general, in all stewardship, every form of stewardship, it requires in stewards that a man be found faithful. Why? Because steward is given an area of responsibility. And once there is responsibility given, there must come a day of reckoning. There must come a time when that steward will be called upon to render an account of the things that he was made faithful over. Look at Romans 14:2. Let's say, for instance, God give a man health. Born without, any defects in his body, anything. Then he wants to go and start to take drugs. Then he wants to do this. He wants to drink alcohol. I mean, it destroys his own life that God has given unto him. Then when God comes, God wants to use him now in God's service. His life is also destroyed, disorganized, everything. He can't be used for nothing. He becomes handicapped. He becomes retarded. Romans 14, verse 12. It tells us here, Paul speaking again. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every man will have to give an account to God. Why? Because God has put us here for a purpose. God created man for a purpose. Show it me in the Bible, so Luke 16, as we begin to open this up a little bit and see, because if we are to be a strong church, friend, this church have to be made up of people that are responsible. If we are irresponsible people, we can never be a strong church and be irresponsible at the same time. If we are people that can't be responsible and be faithful in little things, we could never see this church grow to a place where God can do greater things among us, because we have to be faithful in little things first before we can be faithful in greater things. Is that right? Let me tell you don't come in to God things by shortcuts. After God tried that prophet, Jesus was Christ, was tempted in all points and yet without sin. Then the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Whom I'm pleased to dwell in. God told children of Israel, after I see you handle this little portion, I'll give you more. God told the prophet, after you be faithful at first pull, he said, be a little more sincere, more is going to come. Be a little more sincere, more is going to come. God tries us, he tests us. He brings us through greater experiences all the time. Why? To prove us. To see if we are worthy. Luke 16. Look at Jesus teaching this. And he said also, he had just come to Luke 15, which is all in parables and redemption, but the shepherd with the 100 sheep and the lost coin, the woman who had to sweep a house and so on, the prodigal son and all these things. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do
For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship.
I cannot dig.
To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do,
that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.
So he called
every one of his Lord debtors
unto him, and said unto the first,
how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil.
And he said unto him,
take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50.
Then
said he to another, and how much owest thou?
And he said, 100 measures of wheat.
And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80.
And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely.
He's unjust, but he's done wisely.
For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you,
make to yourself friends
by means of the money,
or in your word may have
by means of the mammon, by means of the money
of unrighteousness, that when if fails,
they may receive you into everlasting habitation.
He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much.
And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other,
or else he will hold to one and despise the other.
You cannot serve God and mammon.
Now look.
It says here, the Lord called his steward and said, give an account of thy stewardship.
As I'm trying to show you.
If a man is a steward, one day he will have to give account. Because he is put into that position of a steward and given a responsibility.
And to be a steward is a position of honor.
Like Eliezer was Abraham's steward.
And Eliezer,
that trusted servant.
When Abraham said, Lord, shall I go
childless? And this steward I have here, Eliezer, will be my heir. And God said, no,
you will not go childless.
And Abraham
had this faithful steward, which is a type
of God. And
in his economy, his kingdom, where he gives us a stewardship.
And Jesus, in teaching here about stewardship, is showing
that when God gives a person a stewardship,
there comes a time of accounting
for that stewardship which God has given unto us. Look at the prophet on the cross during the curtain of time.
And the Holy Spirit says, you will have to be judged for the ministry that was given unto you
and for the gospel that you preach.
It was an area of responsibility. And he was given a commission by his Lord and Master. When that angel came to him, he was given spiritual gifts, certain talents. In this age, to go out and minister in a certain area of responsibility that was going to bring wealth and fame and honor and souls into the kingdom. And it's whether with that ministry he was going to go and make a name for himself, build a seminary, build a monument, and all these things. When people try to offer him these things and say, Brother Bram, we'll take you to the nerve center, you're going to build a monument, you're going to build a big school, all over the and build a city of faith, Tommy, you're going to build a big school, all these things. And he didn't had the desire to go and do those things because he tried to stay faithful in the place where he was called and true to the responsibility that was given unto him. And then when he crossed over, he found out that there really was an accounting. And he saw in the Bible that God really requires of a man to give an account of the area of responsibility that has been entrusted unto him.
How we use our influence.
How we use our tongue. Turn me to Matthew 25.
You can't show this. This is not a makeup thing, friend. This is Bible doctrine. This is a teaching. Not taught in one place. Taught all through where Jesus spoke these things. Where in Sharon, the Old Testament, where Jesus spoke these things, where Paul came back and picked up those things and show we have an area of responsibility. We have, you know, things that God has put unto us. In Deuteronomy, he says, what shall I render unto God for all the benefits that you have blessed me with? And God says, you remember. He says, I gave you power to have all these things. Matthew 25, verse 14. Look at this. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Remember, this is a parable. He's talking something. He's going to give something to his servants. He's going to take a long journey and he's going to be away from them for a long period of time, but he's going to come back one day and then require an account to them for the responsibility that was entrusted unto them. Watch. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made other 5 talents. And likewise he had received 2, he also gained other 2. And he that had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, after 7 churches, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. See, at his coming, in time of his coming, Revelation 10. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Notice, he was faithful in little, he said, I'll make you faithful more. He was faithful in little, he was faithful more. How come he could make him faithful in more if he's not faithful in least? We just read that in Luke. Because of stewards is required that a man be what? Faithful. I hope you've seen that. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Because of the diligence, because of the faithfulness, because of the willingness to serve, because of they're being devoted to the area of responsibility, they were taken into greater blessing and greater responsibility. Now, many times, a lot of us want areas of responsibility, areas of honor, want great blessing, and we just don't want to be faithful in little things. Because sometimes we feel to serve there, we're too important to serve there. It's not becoming of our character, it's not becoming of our image. And we look for greater things because we want to start at the top of the ladder. But watch. Watch and see how people miss God's blessing because they don't know him and don't know his ways. And they don't realize there are no shortcuts into his kingdom. Because watch, he taught these things. Verse 20, his Lord said unto him, well done, my good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make the ruler over many things, enter down to the joy of the Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not spread. And I was afraid. You see, he was a legalist. He had fear. He's all talk. He had a wrong relationship, a wrong revelation of his master. He was seeing his master as a hard man. He was seeing his master as a real strict person. And that brought fear, and he could never be faithful in the things that was given unto him. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. And last week we were speaking about that slothful man who had his field all broken down. Now watch that slothfulness in the day of the coming Lord. Watch in Proverbs, there was a harvest time where the man, prophet came upon him, and watch this servant here, his slothfulness when his Lord cometh. That's not the comfort, that's now. That's the hour. He says, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not spread. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming, at his coming, when he returns, see, I shall have received mine own with interest. Take therefore the talents of men, give it unto him who hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he hath have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant, over here is called a slothful servant, over here is called an unprofitable servant, into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now let's just read something similar to that again in Luke. And then we're going to pause here for a while and speak on some of this here. Luke 19. Verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. What should he say? The Bible says he spoke this parable because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He made them Jews, looking for the Messiah to come and kick off the Romans and establish his kingdom right there and then, because they didn't know that the Messiah had to come and die first, and after his suffering, then he was going to enter into glory. And as they had to go and intercede for his subject, they didn't know those things. They thought the kingdom should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And himself he's speaking about. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So when we were to receive our areas of responsibility, he was expecting us to occupy in the field of service, in that area of responsibility that had been allotted to us. Now when he come back, he will find us doing what he made us responsible for, that when he comes and ask us to give an account of what he entrusted us with, we can be able to present these things that he can see that we are being faithful, and then we shall be able to enter into his blessing. And that's where many people think they are just going to go into God's blessing by being slothful, by being negligent, by being irresponsible, just because they said in the message, just because they said they love Jesus. It don't come like that. We are seeing what a servant is, what is required of a servant. We are seeing the kind of responsibility that goes with Christianity. Not coming to church and packing a Bible and just arguing scriptures or who deeper than who and all these things. No. We are seeing that there is a vocation we have to walk worthy of. And if we can get the church into that sphere of thinking, then we're going to take our Christianity serious. It wouldn't be whether I can come or whether I can't come, or whether somebody else will pick up my post, or whether somebody else. We will know we have a post of duty. We will know that's a commitment to God. We will know that God has given us the opportunity, and it's an opportunity. That is not we could have come in the message when we want, and we have to come in, we could have go and fellowship anywhere, and we have to know these things. No, all these things we don't take for granted. But we recognize the divine working of the Holy Spirit, and we see that we have been privileged by God to have this opportunity. Because to whom much is given, I get it, but I'm quoting it right now in Luke 19. To whom much is given, much is required. Is accounted if it's given to you. We love a lot of revelation. We love a lot of inspiration. We love a lot of gifts. We love a lot of talent. We love a lot of responsibility. But to whom much is given, much is required. In other words, you want to receive God giving you? Well, there's going to be a requiring time of you for what has been given to you. Because God doesn't just show off business. God is a display. You go and display this, and you have this, and you have this, and walk around and stick up your shoulder and stick out your chest and play a big poppy and these things. God doesn't that. To whom much is given, much is required. Amen. So look. He said, occupy till I come. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. That's exactly the same about Jesus. Caesar is our king. We have no king but Caesar. But here he's going to Jerusalem. And you know what's going to happen? He said, his citizens, which was those children of Israel right there, he knew they didn't want him. He knew he came to Jerusalem and they don't receive him not. They're going to reject him. Yet he was the king. Your king cometh unto you, meek and lowly, rode him there. But he knew the scripture and he knew his place and he was speaking it to them, showing them, because they thought the kingdom was coming right there and then. So he says here, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, because he has received it, you know, he's came back as king, you know. He has received it. He fall at it. He didn't off take him and sit and offer it him there. He fall at it by virtue of paying the price to redeem it back. It came to pass after when he was returned, having received the kingdom, a revelation to the crowd, along with a lion roared. They said, behold, the lion of Judah prevailed. Then he commanded the servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. In other words, whether they occupy till he came, to see what the occupation was, how they carried out the responsibility when he spoke to them and says, this is what's going to happen. Didn't he say this gospel will be preached to all the world, then shall the end come? Didn't the prophet say every church that don't have these things will have to give account to God why they end up with just an intellectual gathering? Why learning replaced revelation? Why reason replaced faith? Why the sick came in sick and went back out sick? They don't have to give account. Because they were made a steward over the message. The message God gave us was our working mantle. God vindicated the message around the world and handed that message to us. You think it's something nice to jump and say, praise God, we need the message. We're more powerful than the organization. We have a great message. Look at them, they're false. They can't baptize right and these things. And then that message is living through us. Let me tell you, people don't realize the condemnation to receive much. It'll be worse for you who know and have received it. It's best you have been in the organization. It might be easier. Where you might not realize you're deceived when the tribulation starts and give your life for the gospel or something, know the message right, that the coming the message, be around the message, and never live this message. And never realize what God gives us, and just misunderstand it and walk with it like if we had something great. I mean, God came and said, what did he do with it? He testified to the unbeliever? Does he know about it? Testify to the neighbors? Does he know about it? What was the areas of you? What did he do with it? Have you won souls with it? The great revelation you have, that you admire yourself for having this deep revelation. He said, what did you do with it? You decorate yourself with it. And you walk about yourself with an exalted spirit, thinking you know more about God than somebody else. It wasn't a knowing more about God competition. Because you know the most about God. It was carrying out and finishing this commission.
until Jesus comes. What?
So then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said to him also, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound which I have kept and laid up in a napkin. For I feared, because thou wast an austere man, who takest up that which thou laidest not down, and reapest that which thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Now, so unprofitable, slothful, now wicked. That's the Lord's description of people who had received something from him. Sent forth to occupy and go into service, given an area of responsibility to fulfill, and came back and found them having not carried out what he required of them. And here is his description for such a person. You can imagine a person with joy saying, the Lord do that for me. If the Lord give me this, you know. I ain't getting some man, I get some God. It may sound good. That does sound good. But isn't that the end of the matter? Look what God himself is saying about the man he give that to. You think he says, it's true, you had a good excuse. Did he say that? No. Now, these things that Jesus was teaching, friend, Matthew 25, after Matthew 24, where he revealed on the 6 seals, Matthew 25, every parable is about his coming. That's 7 seal. That's his coming. That's when he comes among the people, revealing to them what is going to happen to believers. And that's what Abraham says, the greatest disappointment will be to believers. At least who think they are believers? Who think they know the truth? He said, you think he's a drunkard in the mouth, they're going to get disappointed? No. He said, the man who taught you is right to God. And look at right here. Here is where it is coming. God, he is showing that the same thing that those people receive, these others receive it too, from his very own hand. But watch, the relationship, the conception, was so totally out of line with what God required that they failed to see what he required, and they failed to even visualize what the condition was going to be when he come and find them wanting. If they had any revelation what the condition was going to be, they would not have allowed them that slothfulness to come in to make them unprofitable, to be called by him to be wicked. But they were going to go out there and occupy till he comes. In other words, be about the Father's business. My meat, he says, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I must be about my Father's business. It's good to have talent. Because that talent in Matthew 25, the word talent, it was a measurement of a system of the money. Remember on Inside Life, we took that. You remember that? We took the word talent and I broke it on the Greek for you and showed Matthew is the only one who used that because it was measured out. Because God measured out to every man. He divided up to every man severally as he will. That goes back to 1 Corinthians 12 where Paul is talking about God dividing gifts, differences of administration, differences of gifts, talents. What we call a talent today is a gift that somebody has. But back there, talent was a measurement of money, something that was given to them, measured out by God to each one, because every man was to minister according to his measure and the capacity that God had given unto him. So that's why when Abraham came and said the Pentecost was making show of the gifts and trying to compete and outdo. He said, no, that's not it at all. He said, this thing is to get in order. This is to know your place. He said, everybody can raise sheep. Everybody can plant corn. He said, but what God is doing now, he's trying to set them in order and place them out in the areas of responsibility so that they could do him the service according to his will for this age, so that he can make him a prepared servant. When we see what he requires of us, then we can be a faithful steward, knowing that a steward would require, the Lord would require of the steward to give an account
of his stewardship. Paul, we have stewarded the mysteries. Oh, it's great to know the mysteries. He said, could this opening of these seven seal mysteries be given to the denomination? He said, no. It has to be opened up to the undenominational bride. God have given us the mysteries. He didn't give the Baptist it. He didn't give the Methodist it. Revelation 10, there is a voice of the seventh angel. When he shall begin the song, the mysteries of God will be finished. Is us God give it to? But what did he give it to us for? Is it required for a man to be faithful in it? What is that word to do? What are we supposed to do with that word that God has given unto us? You know what I'm saying? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefit towards me? It's by his power we receive these things. Isn't it? Sure. Now what? Verse 23. Why then givest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with interest? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, unto everyone who hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies who would not that I should reign over them, bring here and slay them before me. Revelation 19, when he's coming as king to reign over them. Isn't that what he does? He takes all of that same power that killed him at his crucifixion when there was pagan Rome. He meets them as papal Rome there. And what does he do with them? He slays them with his sword. He destroys them at his coming after he received the kingdom. Look at Jesus, knowing the program. Because we took those things back in the blessed and only potentate, how it is all type of in Solomon. But I'm trying to show you, what I'm trying to show you is the responsibility at his coming. Where he's finding us now, and we are discovering that our life was foreordained. No man could add one cubit to his stature, because God made you what you are. You can't be what you ain't. And what you are discovering that you have, we are finding out it was given to us by God. We fell from our mother's womb to be that, because without repentance. Is that right? Amen. So then we see here talents that God has given unto us to be a steward over it. Faithful steward. To save all the time, I wouldn't read 1 Corinthians 12 that I quoted for you just now. And Luke 12, 48, where he says, too much is given, much shall be required. Because, friends, even in your natural field, that is, we call it natural. Because it don't relate maybe to church. We don't, you know, you go to work and you don't call it church and so on. But we got to find out now that the word is open to us. God put you out there. Your natural field is the place God put you to shine light. You don't shine no light in church. It's only believers here. God light a lamp and put it on a stand. He strategically places it to give light round about that they could see your light and glorify the Father who's in heaven. That they who come in could see that light. That light could bring somebody from the darkness to bring them in. So now we find out then that your calling, you might be a businessman, your calling might be a farmer, your calling might be a welder, your calling might be different things. And that's here. Where you work outside, you find you have a certain talent, a certain nature, lead you to certain things. That is God doing those things. And first you begin to realize God gave that to you. And God opened up doors of opportunity for you where that talent could be used to make you a faithful worker or something there, to display the life of Christ in that environment. Where people outside, they could see what type of Christian you are. That they could come to know about it. Jesus, you serve like Brother Abraham is a hunter. He say, you think I come out here to hunt animals? He said, come out here to pray. He said, hunt me to be alone with God. He said, many times I've come out here because God has led me to people way out here. You won't even find them in church. Look at Burke. He said, so cruel. But out there while he's even bird hunting, he's talking about the Lord.
He's presenting Christ to him.
Until Burke say, Billy, tell me about this Jesus you're always talking about. Where do we see that we haven't received talents
from God?
Talents to be used back for His glory. Talents that we can occupy with. Talents He has given us for a specific purpose and to be used in a specific manner in a certain area where through our life and testimony that area will be witnessed of the gospel.
Because no man does light a lamp and put it under a bushel.
God didn't light you with the Holy Spirit and send you out there for you to testify and keep a secret identity out there and let nobody know who you are. Because you fail to recognize why he have you there. You fail to recognize what he can do out there. You have already judged maybe the situation and you haven't even exhibited your light.
And then we come around one another
and we try to show one another how deep we are and what we know and what we've seen and different things. Because we're putting the emphasis in the wrong place. We're trying to shine the light in the wrong areas. And the areas where we're supposed to be giving the witness and shining the light, we're not doing. But we want to preach down one another, exhort one another, so we can be admired by one another what we have and what we know. And Satan is actually coming on in a very subtle form and destroying what God has done for us. And killing the effect of it, and it's not being used in the areas of service where God can be glorified and where souls can be saved and where a real witness of the gospel can be given.
Why? Because we have received something and misunderstood the whole purpose of why we have received it. Sometimes just using church and you know, among one another. But the things of God, you think God going to give you a gift to use in church, maybe just for 3 minutes on a Sunday when you come to church? No. This is not that kind of age. This is an age where God is going to give the greatest witness the world have ever received. This is an age where God is going to show the fullness. This is an age where God is going to judge the world, not a nation now. God is going to judge the entire earth after this message. This is not for a nation. This is the end. This is the finish.
Now look.
Colossians 4:5. Let's read that. Let's read from verse 2. It says, continue in prayer, as are we here tonight. And watch in the same with thanksgiving, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. How many times you can find that in the Bible, in the New Testament especially? Because Paul knew that the talents he received, the gift he received, that you would ask the saints that they pray that God even open up doors of utterance, because he knew he had to occupy. He was given, he said, I am given a dispensation of the gospel. He knew that it was a time allotted him, that he had a work to do. He had to carry to the Gentiles, because he was told that in the commission. And sometimes when they reach a place and realize that they were standing up not doing nothing, he said, pray, because we ought not to be standing doing nothing. We become concerned when we're not doing nothing. He said, pray that God open up doors. Because there are places that need to get a witness. There are places where it has not been spoken. There are places where it needs to go. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds.
that I may make it manifest
as I ought to speak. He said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time.
Let your speech be always with grace,
seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Verse 5, God is saying what? Redeeming the time. In other words, don't waste the time.
The time is valuable.
The time is slipping away. What about when that angel comes from heaven and says, time shall be no longer? What about when the end of time seal has started and time is running out? And the day of grace and mercy will be over where nobody, he that is filled will be filled still. He said, redeeming the time. In other words, God is saying, I give you so much time. I call you, I give you the gospel. And there is so much time left. Occupy, use the time, redeem the time. Don't waste the time. See, let's read Ephesians 5, 16 and read another place how he says it.
I want you to see something. You see, I think we, you know, we come along and, you know, you watch it and you say, oh God, how could people be missing this and missing that and missing that and taking these things lightly and thinking that this is the way it's going to be and just walls in the kingdom and, you know, the word preaches and they claim to have a revelation. You say, how come they have a revelation? They don't even set their house in order. How come they have a revelation? They don't even have a little holy decency in their life. How come they have a revelation? They have no real relationship with the wife and their family. We do a family worship only. You think a house having families on a prayer altar could have them kind of things? It just shows. Let me tell you. When you turn around after having received so much truth, right inside of here is woe unto you. You think God's going to judge the people in the bum for what they do? If they're going to be judged, what is the judgment of the person who sits down here and hear all this truth and then living those things? You think of it. Ephesians 5, 15. Let's take from verse 14. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest. You don't want natural sleep. And arise from the dead. That unconscious state where you're dead in sin. You're just going along, meat for the belly and belly for the meat. And, you know, more concerned about the natural thing in this life. He said, awake that thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. The entrance of his word is what brings light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Missions. God make us a steward over the very time that we're living in. That we're supposed to use this time profitable and use this time in a way that is going to benefit the kingdom of God. We've got a little folding of the hands, a little slumber, a little sleep. The man's field became ruined. He was a slothful man who had no void of understanding. He said, be you understanding. Be not unwise, be you understanding that this time we have that is slipping away. We can't bring back tomorrow. It's gone, it's lived out, it's gone. If we did nothing, we did nothing. When today come, it met us that we did nothing yesterday. If we did nothing today, tomorrow is going to come and find out a whole day was wasted again. And we're faced with the next day, and what are we going to do with it? We're going to keep putting it off for tomorrow. Well, somebody is going to do it. If I don't do it, somebody is going to do it. You know, this year, well, I'm too busy right now. I have an ox to prove. I have a piece of land to plow. I have a piece of land to buy. I have a house to build. We're going to make excuses? Would that be a life or would you have the gospel? No, sir. But you know why these things happen? It's because we are not faithful stewards. We don't even see that that's a stewardship.
So the time that God gives us, we idle away the time. Suddenly we just sit there and waste time and talk. And we talk so much of things unfruitful that we could have talked something that could be constructive, could be edifying, could be glorifying to God. And during that time, they could be so blessed, so anointed with the Holy Spirit. Our faith could have been inspired. We could have strengthened the weaker ones by pointing virtue out to the revelation God have in your heart, by ministering to them the knowledge of the word, that they could understand the age and the time what's happening. But what did we use the time to do? What did we see time for? Did we see that time was opportunity passing by that will not be regained? The man never went out to occupy because he let that time pass. He says, well, maybe too much of rain today. Or maybe the sun too hot today to do that. Because he wanted to serve at a time when it's convenient and suitable to him. Not when the need was there and when God wanted someone to pick up that responsibility. Maybe that's the time we say, well, I'm just going to dig a little hole and bury it. I'm going to just fold up a napkin here. And thinking that that is being safe with what God given unto us. So when the Lord come out, we will just hand back to him just how he give it to me. Christianity is the area of greatest responsibility because we stand between the living and the dead. We have a message of life to a world that is dying and on the brink of destruction. Look at those things. Our talent, what do we do with it? What do we do with our time? Because if God gives you some talent, then he gives you a certain area of time for you to use what he has given you for his kingdom. We are stewards also of God's money. You believe that? Deuteronomy 8:18. God says, I have given you power that you might get wealth. Now, many a time now, you find what happens is we fail to realize God give it to us. We think of tired, maybe we feel. We think of, when they hand me that pay packet, was my name on it. It wasn't God's name on it. And we think that, that's ours. It belongs to God. God give it to you. God bless you with it. That you can use it wisely. You don't want to buy all kind of nonsense and then you just waste down God's money there and then next thing you end up in debt and then you have all kind of things there that you never use that you bought to consume on the lust of your flesh. And then sometimes when it comes to giving to God's work and these things, it's difficult. Because why? The things that have control and influence upon your mind. I was even speaking the other day about little children, how we like to see little children trained to give in growing up. This is a selfish world. This is a cold world. This is a world of selfishness. Keep what you have. Get what you can. Mash down who in front of you to go and get what you need. And pull down who on top of you going to get what is there before you. Because the world have designed to be a rat race and to be an area of competition. And you hear about, all these things where you fail to realize God say, I have given you. Like many times we sit and talk with the brothers in business and use some simple principles. Like where Brother Bram that time with the caribou, God showed him the caribou. In the vision. He said, that's yours. He went out there, and here he was in the field. God gave it to him, but he didn't just see it by itself, shoot it, and say, hey, God give me this. I so luckily got to come across it. God just loved me so much. No. God told him it was his. Then God put him in the woods there, and he got hundreds of hunters closer to it than him, who was in a place that got better shot. He seen it through the binoculars, have to pass through the area where all the hunters was, and where he was seeing it from, his gun wasn't even within sight. It wasn't powerful enough to shoot it from where he was. He had to go on the mountain and get down there. And the brother said, Brother Bram, but all them hunters down there. He said, no, God give that to me. He had to go and compete and fight and push down and shout and get all nervous
and say, I hope you didn't take my thing, I see you with somebody in front of me, I will mash them down because that is mine, God, give me that. Yes. No. He didn't fight nobody for nothing. Because if God give it to him, no man can take it away. Like David, when God gave David the kingdom, he didn't fight Saul and kill Saul to get it. To prove that God gave it to him, David says, leave him alone. He said, don't touch him. If he had to die, it wouldn't be by my hand. And that's exactly how God does things. And when a man knows his position, like Abraham, when Abraham recognized God gave him the land, he had to have no fear whether Lot take first choice. He said, you choose first. Choose where you want. And Lot looked for the water and the grass because he didn't know God gave it to him. God gave it to him. He went on to Egypt and backslide going after his help from the world. And then God had to come back and take him out. Then God began to bless him and he began to see that God had given it to him. He didn't have to go and compete for nothing. And his faith began to recognize its position. And sometimes you're in a company and you're tempted and you feel kind of bad and the devil feel you're being kept down and this happened. No, you think Joseph in prison wasn't feeling you're being kept down too? But God could bring him and put him where you want when the time comes. Because God doing it. It's God that's raised up one and take down one. It's God taking Nebuchadnezzar to raise up the next king. Sure. To show it is the heavens that rule. But sometimes we claim faith and all these things but us. Because we lack patience. And we don't understand God's will. And we get ourselves in areas competing and fighting. Because we don't even trust God. Because we have no rest and no peace that God keeps his word. You don't have to compete and fight with people for nothing. God leads you and brings you into what he gives you in the appointed season that he ordained for you to have it. And you can't come in before God's time. You see, we establish a boundary for the sea and they can't cross that boundary. And he established courses for the winds and the sun and all those things. And they can't move from its courses. They're set in the courses. It's the same way God established things for you the same way. Exactly right. Because we are all made to fit and work by God's great plan, God's great economy, for God's glory. We're just part of a great whole. But we go out there and we get all tied up, and that's where things bring a reproach on the name of the Lord. That's because people, untutored, they go out there and they bring, become a stumbling block, and they get themselves, trying to wire energy to the flesh and trying to compete and do things. Because they don't know it's not him that will it or him that run it, but it's God that showeth mercy. Look, when Lot went only and trying to get riches, when the fire fell, he lost everything. And Abraham, who went through the desert and the wilderness, he bypassed some good opportunities. Look where he was. Look when Egypt became dust and the whole kingdom fell. They can't even rise up till today. Look where Moses was. You will see with Jesus on the mountain still following his leader. Friends, when you look and you see these things, we need to be a little more responsible. I'm going to continue this and take some more areas of stewardship. The time is far gone. But to show you, God makes us to be stewards. And in stewardship, is required of a steward to give account. That is God's word. That's God's principle. You have a child, you send him on an errand, he comes back and he gives account. You have a servant and you send him something, they come back and they give account. We are God's servants. God thing is not a show thing. God thing is not just a wishy-washy thing. The highest form of government, the highest form of administration is God's business. That's why there's so much sloppiness. That's why there's so much irresponsibility. That's why the church can even hardly stand on its feet.
there's so much time wasting. There's so much unproductive. The church is doing so little and has so little to show for how much God has given. And let me tell you, people is in real bad shape when you can't even recognize that we have received so much and have given so little. Or that when God calls to give account and we can't give account, it will show you're so unconscious and so asleep that we never even knew that it requires us to be faithful and to give account for this stewardship. These are serious things. But it is for us to recognize in our Christianity and trying to set the church in order. Someone is a musician. Someone is a song leader. Them is not positions to glory. Someone is a minister. That's a position to glory. Someone is a deacon or a trustee, Sunday school teacher. That's not a position to glory. That is before the foundation of the world. God have designed that. The fruits of the righteous, the order of the Lord, are past us a certain way. That is when we recognize that through the dying of Christ, who became, through his poverty, who left the splendor of glory to come down and be spit upon, wash the feet of fishermen, that we can become rich, that we can receive his Holy Spirit, that we can come to be the heirs, joint heirs with him, to rule this universe, to come back with him, to sit at his side when he comes in his kingdom. That when we recognize what he has done for us, how we should care about ourselves. But because of lack of these things, we just see the message and Brother Vin Church and the message and Brother Branham message and the prophet and the denomination. We live in that realm and thinking that is Christianity. And we just come and go back and forth. And I say, come in Sunday morning, go back out Wednesday night. Could we come up a little higher than that? Could we see a little more than that? Could we see something so much far deeper than that? Could we see every one of us, the very children that God give us, the very talents that God give us, the very time that we have to serve in? In every place we admonish in the scriptures, the very wealth that God has given unto us. What shall I render unto God for the benefits that he has bestowed upon me? Knowing it's God who give it. If we really, that's why he said the children of Israel, he said they didn't know him. They do err in their heart because they didn't know his ways. And because they didn't know his ways, they couldn't please him. And they just live in that surface world, rejoicing when manna was falling. You know, when this was happening here, while the waters come on the rock or something, and then 2-3 days after, they slid right back into the same condition. If this place has been given unto us by God, as we say, for a purpose, can we come up into that vision, what that purpose really is? Can we look and see what we have done with the gospel we have received? Can we look and see what the Holy Spirit has done in and through us with the life that we have received? Can we see what it took for us to be partakers of that nature and that life to come into us and become a resident to work in and through us and see the areas of accomplishment? Can we look at our areas of service at present and see what we are doing? Do we think he has done enough to motivate us? Are we looking for more motivation? Wasn't the cross sufficient? And the song says, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? Have we really looked into these things and realized the time that we're living in and the days that are passing daily and daily and daily and daily and daily and so much to be done? And sometimes what we think serving him is just maybe a little platform performance, a little something we do here and there. Is that the service? And half of the time we do it is not even
anointed by the Holy Spirit? When we recognize we have received from Him, may it lead us to a true consecration, and may we occupy till He comes. Now when He comes, He'll be able to look and see that we have redeemed that time. If it is to raise them children, we can present them back to Him and say, Lord, You gave them to me. And You come before they grow up to be a big man. But here is an obedient little boy, and here is an obedient little girl. And I've tried to live and be the best influence. Or, Lord, You call me to serve in the assembly, to be a light in the community, in the job, in the school, in the work, where You place me. I can give witness and testimony to be Your servant, to represent You. To give every man a reason of the hope. Lord, as best as I know, I've been faithful in carrying those things out. Could we look at those things? Does it bother us when we just come and go and don't do nothing about it? Or does it don't bother us at all whether they hear or they hear, whether they know or they don't know? What is it, friend? Let us realize that it requires faithfulness and responsibility to be a steward. And he that is faithful in least could be faithful in more. Let us pray. O gracious God, these few words spoken tonight might be a little sharp and cutting and stern, but it's not with resentment or being said, Lord, in some way to belittle, but rather to cause us to look and see that things of value come at great price, that it took the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. It took the church being slaughtered, 68 million. This gospel could be brought to us. It took people, Lord, wandering in sheepskins and goatskins and dens and caves, living homeless all out there in the catacombs, Lord, to keep this gospel, to preserve it. It come down to us in these last days so we could have it, Lord. This faith coming to us, Lord, could prepare a church and make her ready for Your coming. And You so desire that You would show forth Your victory in the reason of Your death, should fulfill His commission, sweep this message unto the coming of the Lord. The earth will be lightened with the glory of this gospel. God, when we see that sometimes not even our community, not even the person on the workbench next to us at work sometimes, not even the person in class in school right next to us sometimes. Then we realize, Lord, that how poor representative we have been. Yet, we know we are in us as resident, a deposit, a talent, an ability You have given, Lord. Mightn't be much here, mightn't be much there. One pong, like that man received, but yet he could bring 10 with it. Another man got the same pong and brought it back. Didn't even, wasn't even motivated to go out and do something. You told him you could have put it in the bank. Lord, we realize that You spoke these things because through Your great foreknowledge, You could see the last days where it's going to be at Your coming. People who have received from You, Lord, children that You've given unto us, time in this generation to serve You. Money, Lord, that You provide and supply for us, giving us power to obtain wealth. What can we render unto You for all these benefits You bestow upon us? May we not forget and think, Lord, is our own arm, is our own ability. May we not just go along slothfully, Lord, and then fail to be able to give account when we are called upon. We don't want to be an unjust steward. We don't want to be an unprofitable servant. We don't want to be slothful or wicked. Lord, we want to be a faithful and wise servant. A prepared servant. A servant that could do you a service according to your will. A servant, Lord, whose meat is to be about the Father's business. That you could be our pattern, Lord. You could be our example. You shall be coming to us to fulfill all righteousness. And God, realizing what you have done for us in this assembly and how you blessed us and bestowed so much things upon us, Lord, we do just want to just have a little group and just be sitting here and coming and going out. But we want to come with objective, Lord. We want to come, Lord, with a purpose, with a true intent in our heart. Fulfill what you require of us. Lord, to see that even the very reason and purpose you have sent this message in these last days actually be interpreted in our lives. A living reality, a living manifestation. We just want to shake a brother hand or a sister hand, say, God bless you. We just want to come and pray and then spend all night in prayer meeting just praying for our own selfish needs, and sometimes not even one moment spent praying for the gospel, knowing this world is fixing to be blown to bits, knowing gross darkness is upon this world, not even praying for the work, Lord, that might prosper out in lands where maybe this gospel has not even reached. Aware it is being persecuted and unable to strive properly. We see Epaphras in the Bible. He prayed for the church in Colossae. He prayed for the church in Laodicea. Lord, he prayed for the needs of the saints. He locked himself in that closet and he had such a burden, Lord. Sometimes our burden don't go beyond our own home. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will deal with us. God will cause us to lift our eyes. He told his disciples, lift your eyes and look in the fields. The harvest is ripe. Pray that the Lord send laborers in the field. Don't say it's 4 months to come. Even right now, it's white already to harvest. You give them a part to do. Though you were the Lord of harvest standing right there. You told him to pray. Help us to catch these things, Father. Help us to break into it and even here while we try to bring this burden even for young people. What are we trying to do for them? How we see such need for families here right in the assembly trying to get things set up that they could be assisted, get their work administrated. Raise up strong men, Father. It seems like so many have been come so tired just doing nothing. But strike people with conviction, Lord. Bring us to a greater conviction. That we can truly see the hour, redeem the time. That we can rise and shine, Lord. We can be a little more perseverant. Come to a great involvement. Not just stand idle. The scripture says, why stand you idle? We get to roll up our sleeves and put our hands to the wheel. We have to wait for a commandment or somebody to tell us. In so many places that you have spoken of, that needs attention, that needs assistance. And so many times in your word you have instructed us and shown us by examples. How we ought to carry out your work, even here tonight, Lord. Areas that we leave undone, areas that we neglect, fail to pay attention to, when we are directly responsible and we call upon to give account. But I pray tonight, Lord, that these words, the entrance of them would bring light and illumination. It would cause our spirit to stir within us, Lord. It would cause us to be a little better focused as to what your will is concerning us and what you require of us. And Lord, it would shake us and realize that there is so much to do. Anoint our eyes, Lord. Let us see. And help us to see clearly. Lead us in a plain path. Let us not stumble or walk in darkness. Let your word be such a lamp unto our feet. May the guiding influence of your Holy Spirit direct us in our paths. We look unto you tonight, Father. For we pray that you would help us. As we recognize that we are such a needy people, and we ask, Lord, where we have failed your forgiveness, you will forgive us. Where we see our shortcomings and our failures, and where we fail to grasp the opportunities and capitalize upon these things and use it to our benefit and for the advancement of your kingdom. Where we come so negligent, many times we let it slip by and unable to bring them back. And it turned out to be so unfruitful. But Lord, as we see these things tonight, make us be more diligent. Take away all slothfulness. Shake us, Lord. Make us pinch our conscience. And there could be a real revival moving among us, Lord. Real power of God, the old time meetings, Lord, where the power of God could fall and that man and the human energy is trying to bring something where we could find grace to meet your requirement, to do what you ask of us. Knowing if we do your part, you will do yours. If we keep our vow, you will keep yours. For you are a covenant-keeping God. If we leave this place tonight, may divine presence, Lord, linger with us. May while we would travel in our inner thoughts and our reflections, we could search and see what kind of servant we are. What kind of steward we are? Have we used your time profitably? Do we waste time? Are we negligent? Are we inconsiderate concerning these things? Do we see the time as God's time? Is time ticking away in our lives? Is time that one of these days we'll not be able to do anything about it? It'll all be over and gone. The Bible will have to be stopped then. Our children, what kind of stewards we are over them, not just in our homes, but here in the house of God. The elect lady and her children, what kind of attention we have given unto them, what kind of assistance we have rendered, how we stood in their way, how we've been examples, how we stumbling blocks, how we allowed a great gap to come when now it becomes so difficult to communicate and to help them. Oh God, may we see, Lord, that lost opportunities can't be regained. We can try to make the best of what time we have left. Our money, have we just squandered it? Have we managed it? Have you given us
sufficient, Lord, and yet we're in debt. Yet we owe in all kind of debts because we have failed to manage it properly. We have failed to use it. We have failed to give you back what belongs to you so you couldn't bless what we try to keep. We pour it like into a bag with holes. You had to squeeze us to get out of us. We have failed to give cheerfully. We look just to receive but fail to give. No one is more blessed to give than to receive. How have we used these things, Lord? Are we interested in the gospel? What the message can do? What the message was sent for? What it took, Lord, to open up these seven seals when there was not a man worthy but a lamb, as though it had been slain, had to come to release this last day message, that there was someone to be saved, that they could be saved? Are we willing to support something like that? Are we willing to see it reach to the corners of the earth? Or are we willing just to turn our eyes, put it on material things, and leave the responsibility for someone else to carry the gospel? Is it the kind of investment that we'd like to make? What manner of people are we, Lord? If we look into the mirror of your world, we know the mirror would not lie. And though we see a reflection, yet the mirror cannot make us ready, Lord. The mirror can only show us the things in our lives and the things that need to be done. We must do something about it. May we take your word into our heart and mix it with faith that something could be done about these conditions, Father. Lord, we mean that sincerely tonight as we stand in your presence, knowing that when we have moments like these, when we could sit under your word and we could see these conditions come out and feel that you have spoken to us and your word pierces our conscience and convicts us and shows us areas that we can improve and become a better people, we want to take it sincerely, Father, with a thankful heart, because you could have left us thinking we are all right, thinking that there's nothing else, we're just waiting to go to heaven. But you'd come and you'd show us, because you want to make a better people out of us. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Oh God, this little place, I just feel in my heart, you're fixing to do something. And as you work, Lord, by your Holy Spirit through your word, that the areas in our life, not just orders and ordinances in the house of God and around the church, to be set in order, but areas of responsibility in our lives, that the Holy Spirit can flow and work through us without hindrance in an effective way where we can see positive results. That is what we desire to see, Father. We believe we are going to see it. Give us an obedient spirit to obey every word, to apply it, to mix it with faith, to exercise in it, Lord. We don't just want to be hearers, but we want to be doers. Go with us, Lord. Take us safely to our homes. Watch over us. And may through these things areas so open up that when we get with our families, in our homes, and we open this sacred word, you can bring these things back to remembrance. And Father, that which have appeared in the newspapers, such irresponsible journalism, spirit of the devil trying to go forth to blacken and crucify and kill the effects of what you have done. Just the devil, Lord. And I pray that these things would cause us to take inventory and realize sometimes that we too can be irresponsible
because you have taught us better than that how to treat our families, how to do these things. Our lives should be above reproach. You said what is done in secret will be brought to light. Sometimes we come and we try to pretend, put on an image, create an impression. The Lord, if offenses come, warn to the man by which those offenses come. May we walk in such a way that our good will never be able to be evil spoken of. Happy is the man who is not condemned in the thing which he allow it. May be more responsible, Lord. May be more diligent. I pray, Lord, that you would take these things and you would work it for good. Your word said all things work together for good to them that love you and to them who are decalled, even according to your purpose. Your word cannot lie. Let it come to pass, Father, and let this turn out to be glorious. For he said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. We commit this matter into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I am dying, O Lord. I've heard thy voice and it told thy love to me. God, we shall bless you. Sunday morning, let's try and come out early. I trust these exhortations and these things and these areas that we are being directed to focus upon to help us in our lives, in our home, in the matures, in the places where we are plenty green, to bring the type of maturity, what we call real, true spiritual maturity. Because, friends, let me tell you, any life that is not in this condition and this maturity we're speaking about cannot create the atmosphere that we are talking about. And that life that is not walking right, anointed right, and dressed right cannot even come into God's presence to have communion with God. So you soon speak about this third pull and all these things. What is it going to take? It's not just an explanation of scriptures, friends. It's something real. Is your word becoming flesh inside of us? I am dying, O Lord. I am dying, O Lord. I have heard and it told. Do we hear it tonight? Have we heard his love? He wants to make us a real faithful steward, but I long to rise in the arms of faith. May when we have to give an account, we can give a true account. And he could say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord that has been prepared for you. Draw me nearer. Here a blessed Lord, good. Oh, that crucified life, that hidden life with Christ. Do you really mean that tonight? Draw me nearer. Oh, to that fountain where you can be washed by that blood. Here a blessed Lord. I pray that we can be washed by the water of his blood, his bleeding word that bled upon us tonight. Consecrate me now. To thy service, Lord, make me a real profitable servant. By the powers of oh, let my soul look up tonight, Jesus. Amen. With a steadfast hope
Oh, and my will be lost in thine. Oh, draw me nearer. Oh, if you desire that, you're going to find yourself walking closer to him. He give you the desire of your heart. No one is going to be used for his glory. Where thou hast died, draw me near. Oh, nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, would I pray. Pleading sound. Oh, the pure delight of a single, that before thy throne I spend. When we know what our needs are, then we can really pray. When I kneel in prayer, oh, and with thee, my God, I commune as friends. Oh, let's lift our hands and mean it tonight. Draw me nearer, Lord. I want to walk closer until there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. Until we become one. Until I know I in him and he in me. Thou hast died. Oh, mean that from the depths of your heart tonight. Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding. There are depths of love tonight. Have we entered into it? Oh, some of it tonight, self. Not till I cross the narrow sea. Oh, there are heights of joy. That I may not reach. Oh, till I rest in peace with thee. In peace with. Oh, just sing it as a prayer. Draw me nearer. Oh, let me approach your great throne tonight. Come right into that pillar of fire to enter into that word. Come back out with a real revelation of what he requires of us in this hour to be his dwelling place. Here, blessed Lord, through thy prayer. And before we go, let's just sing Consecrate Me Now one more time. We can be the kind of servant he wants us to be. A real faithful steward. Oh, let my soul look up. God, we shall bless you and grant you the desire of your heart tonight. May you find that grace, that verity that you're seeking. May he give it to you full, pressed down and running over.